Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jess. I just want to say thank you for being so encouraging and for giving me this opportunity, championing me. I love our pastors. Don't you guys love our pastors? So good. So good. Now, I don't preach too often, but I've noticed that there's something that all the big guns do. The big guys who are speaking at the stadiums, you know, the guest speakers that come in, they've got this one thing that they do, and it gets the crowd going, like it gets you ready. I always feel ready. And so this thing supposedly has a 99% chance of a success of happening. I'm just kidding. That's not a real statistic. But this is what they do. If they find themselves doing this before they preach, then I'm going to do it too because, I mean, it's got to work. They're doing something for God. So in honor of those who go before me, I give to you a picture of my family. Yes, that's my family. They are awesome. It's my dad at the back. His name's Kerry. My mom, Rianne. My sister, Summer. They are pastors in Australia. And I love them, but they're actually getting ready to move to Dallas, Texas to plant a church over there. So that's very exciting. I'll have them a lot closer soon, like 3 hours away, rather than like 24 hours of two flights. Like, it's going to be good when they're close. Just pop over for a visit. It'll be nice. But who brought their Bibles today? Yeah, I love the Bible. Nobody brought their Bibles? If you have your Bible, I want you to wave it above your head. Come on, even if it's your phone. That's right, I see some phones. Come on. Now, God's been really speaking to me this week, and I really believe he's going to drop some fire this morning. So I need you to have your Bibles ready and open, and I need you to have your notebooks out because you don't want to miss anything. So I'm just going to begin with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 16. It says, I can testify that the word is true and deserves to be received by all. For Jesus Christ came into the world to bring sinners back to life, even me, the worst sinner of all. Yet I was captured by grace so that Jesus Christ could display through me the outpouring of his Spirit as a pattern to be seen for all those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now, this letter to Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul. And at this point, he was looking back on his earlier life. But his words, even me, I'm the worst sinner of all. So back then, like, he's looking back at a time when his name was Saul. And he was a pretty bad guy. Like, his rap sheet, pretty long. The list of things he'd done was pretty crazy. Like, I had to look into it. You know, he was a liar and a beater. He would break into Christians' houses and destroy their homes. Then, if he didn't send them to prison, he would have them killed. You know, so Christians were having to flee their homes. The persecution was really bad. You know, we often think that the persecution is bad in our world today, but it was nothing like what it was for these guys. It was nothing like what they faced. So, as you can imagine, Paul would have been pretty ashamed and condemned about what he'd done. Like, I'm sure he had those feelings. And maybe like him, you look back on your life. You know, you've got your rap sheet. You've got that list of things that you've done and you're feeling like that. You know, you feel like you're the worst of the worst and you feel like your history is unforgivable and that your past has disqualified you. You know, I have a pretty sheltered background. I didn't think that I did, but recently I've discovered I kind of did. And growing up, I started carrying something that I should never have carried. And I had a belief that I would never be able to help someone because I'd never been through anything. I'd never been through what they'd gone through. And I didn't feel like I'd be able to speak into things. And I felt like that disqualified me. But I've been reminded that I'm not alone. You know, we heard that Saul was a pretty horrible guy. But if you take a look in the Bible, a lot of the other people in there, well-known ones, not so well-known ones, every single one of them had some things in their life that weren't so great. And yet God still chose to do big things through them. David was an adulterous murderer. Noah was a drunk. Moses was a murderer. Peter had a temper. Jacob was a cheater. Jonah ran from God. Now, I was going through that and I realized something. Michaela was a doubter. I was doubting that God could do anything through me. I was doubting that I could do anything for him. But let's just look back at the verse in 1 Timothy. Even me, the worst sinner of all, yet I was captured by grace so that Jesus Christ could display through me the outpouring of his Spirit as a pattern to be seen for all those who believe in him for eternal life. Now, even though Paul said that he was the worst of sinners, like he noted in there, yet I was captured by grace. No, he could have chosen to be captured by shame and condemnation of the things he'd gone through. He could have got himself stuck in that. But he chose to sit in God. He chose to focus on what God said. And you know, like that, we can often sit there and feel the shame and condemnation of the things we've done. You know, who's seen like on the Disney movies, you've got the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other? Just like that, we have the devil whispering in our ear the lies that you should be ashamed of what you've done. How dare you think that God could ever use you? Like, look at that list. And we listen to that. But we need to get the same revelation that Paul did, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners like us. You know, Paul was captured by the grace. And we too need to be captured by his grace and realize that Jesus came to die for us so that we could have life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, Saul, he had a name change. His name was Saul. Then after he kind of encountered God, met Jesus, his name became Paul. And just like that, each and every one of us here today has had a name change. Sinner, now forgiven. Evildoer, now peacemaker. Thief, now righteousness of God. Trespasser, now daughter of the Most High. Transgressor, now son of God. It's time that you embrace the grace. I want you to say that. Embrace the grace. Say it louder. Embrace the grace. Yes, it's time that you embrace the grace that God has given you. So my first point today is, stop disqualifying yourself. Get that? Stop disqualifying yourself. C.S. Lewis once said, I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than him. I have something to say, and it might be a little bit hard to hear. Like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. Like, you just have to be ready for this. It might shock you a little bit. But are you guys ready? Are you guys ready to hear it? Yes? Okay. You aren't God. You don't have the power to disqualify yourself. Get that? You are not God and you do not have the power to disqualify yourself. And yet it's something we do all the time because we compare ourselves with other people. And we look around. And not only that, but that's like one of the biggest forms of self-condemnation. You know, we look at the other people who are doing better. You know, maybe they're following their calling better. They're not sinning as much. They're in church more. They read their Bible more. And we look at them. And like, I'm not going to lie. I do it. We all do it. And we look at them. But it hinders us from being who we're called to be because it's shackling us and holding us back and holding us down. You know, we can get so tangled up in unnecessary self-condemnation, but we need to know that Jesus has already freed us from the need to feel the shame and feel the need that we need to prove ourselves. So I just want to share a bit of my story with you guys. So as I said before, I was a pastor's kid. When I was 9, my family relocated to the Gold Coast to plant a church. And I loved that. Like, I loved growing up as a pastor's kid. It was so much fun. You know, some of my best memories as a kid was when I was at church, you know, we'd be there like more often than we were at our own home. So like when I was hungry, what would I do? Go raid the kitchen. You go find the snacks and be like, oh, I'll take this one. Because it was mine, right? It was mine. And then there were the other times where my parents would be having meetings. So my sister and I would go play hide and seek in the building. One of my favorite spots, under the stage. Could never be found there. You know, it was good. But one thing I didn't expect as a pastor's kid was that I would have friends come and go. And I would have people that I loved and that I was close with that would betray me. So when I was 18, I had these leaders that I really looked up to. Like, I loved these guys. And they decided that they were going to leave the church. So that was pretty hard. But not only did that happen, but they then started saying some horrible things about my family. Like, they were saying horrible things about my parents, the kind of people and leaders they were. They were saying horrible things about the church. And, you know, that was my family. I grew up with that. They were saying horrible things about my sister and I. And it was really hard. And after a while, I had these feelings come up inside of me. And I had these feelings of hatred. And I just couldn't forgive them for what they'd done. You know, I hated these guys for what they'd done to us and to me. I hated these guys for the things they'd said. And to be honest, I wanted nothing but the worst for them. Like, I could not wait for the time that they would just get it. Like, that God would just strike them with lightning and they would just, just lose everything. Like, I just could not wait for that. I could not wait to see them fail. And, like, it's really sad saying that. But after a while of feeling this and just, I wouldn't forgive them. I couldn't let it go. I realized in a moment with God that that was not at all how He wanted me to be feeling. Like, despite how they hurt me, that was not how God would have been treating them, and that's not how I should have been treating them. So I took a moment with God and I repented and He forgave me. But I still carried the shame of that and I couldn't forgive myself. And for a while this really held me back because I just couldn't let it go. And I was like so ashamed of myself and how I'd had these feelings. I was like, how could you have done that? And this held me back. And I let the devil make a slave of me. Now, you might be listening, you might be like, well, I didn't grow up as a pastor's kid, or maybe you didn't even grow up in church. But we all have the situations in our lives where we've let the devil make a slave of us. Yeah, we've all got that thing. My question for you is, how long are you going to let the devil make a slave of you? No, whatever it is that you've done, whether it's that thing that happened 20 years ago that the devil keeps throwing in your face, or it's that thing that happened last night, you need to know that God was with you through it all. He was standing by your side and He was with you, and He wants you to know that you are forgiven and you are not disqualified. You need to stop disqualifying yourself. Romans 8 verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. No, conviction is based on truth. Condemnation is based on lies. Conviction draws us closer to God, but condemnation pushes us away. We're allowed to be convicted by a loving dad, but we're not allowed to be condemned by a lying devil. And maybe you're sitting here and you're feeling condemned, but that's just the devil speaking to you, and you shouldn't be listening to that. No, if what you're feeling is that you want to avoid church, or you want to avoid talking to your leaders, like you just skip out, or you don't even want to go to Connect Group, or because you feel the shame of what you've done and you feel like what you've done is too bad, God can't save you now, you need to know that this is not God speaking. This is coming right from the devil. Like, this is not the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so you need to reject those words. And you can't let it hold you back, and you can't let the condemnation keep you from who God is calling you to be. This leads me to my second point, which is your disqualifications are less than God's qualifications. You know, the very things that disqualify you are the very things that God uses to qualify you. You might have a colorful past, but God is going to use that palette to paint your future. He's going to use that as your qualification. John 10:10 said, The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now Moses, like looking back to some of the people in the Bible, Moses, he killed an Egyptian soldier. And this here, like that's pretty bad. Do you say that's pretty bad, murdering someone? I think so. But, and this should have disqualified him. But God actually used it to refine him in the desert for 40 years before he then used him to deliver the Israelites from Egypt and from slavery. Saul was the greatest bringer of death to Christians in that time. But when he met God, when he had an encounter with God and he rejected the lies and the shame, you know, he should have been disqualified, but God used him to bring life to Christians. He and is continuing to use him to bring life to us today. You know, a whole third of the New Testament was written by him. That book still, like, that still impacts me today. So that's a pretty big thing. And you know what? You're qualified to be a son or a daughter. You're qualified to be in God's service. And you're qualified to make a difference for the kingdom. I want you to say that. I am qualified. I am qualified. It's cheesy, but it's true. So you just got to say that all over yourself all the time. I am qualified. When you feel like you're not, I am qualified. Now, even if it means get your Bible and just, I am qualified. It's good. Stamp your foot. I'm qualified. But you know, every time the thief came to steal from God's people, God came in and his promise came in to bring life to those situations. And not just in a small amount, but life in abundance. You know, Moses could have had his destiny stolen, but he didn't let that happen. He focused on God's promises and God's truths. And God did like a made a historical mark through Moses' life. You know, Saul could have met Jesus and considered it over, considered it like too far gone. But, you know, he didn't let that happen. He focused on the promises God had over him, the promise that God was greater. And Jesus brought life in abundance to his situation, even to us today as we're reading it. And you know, every time you feel disqualified from your destiny, that's just the thief coming in to do his work. But you need to remember the truths that God is bringing light to darkness. So whatever darkness you're in, God's bringing light to that. God is bringing life to death. Whatever you feel in your life is dead, no, that's not true. God is bringing life to that situation. Any situation you're in, you need to know that God is bringing life in abundance to that. He has abundance for you, not just a small amount, but abundance. The enemy this morning, this very morning, he tried to steal from us, but God had something to say. You know, I could have let myself be held back and not thrown off the condemnation and shame and kept the belief that I was disqualified from having anything to say. But because of what I'm speaking, because I believe that God has put something on my heart, you know, I know that there is someone in this place today whose chains are being broken. You know, someone whose life is being set free. And people in here who feel like they're going to leave this place knowing that God has promises of abundance over their life. So I want you to know this one thing. Your greatest mess will be used as your greatest message. Your greatest mess will be used as your greatest message. Now, you think you've wrecked the canvas of your life, you've wrecked the portrait, but God wants you to know today that that is exactly what he wants. This is all part of his masterpiece. Whatever you've been going through, God is using that. That is his masterpiece for your life. So, no matter where you are or what you've gone through, you need to remember today that God redeems all things. He's going to redeem your situation, no matter what you're in. He's going to redeem that. And you need to know that he's going to do greater things than you could ever imagine in your life when you allow yourself to be captured by his grace. I'm just going to pass it over to Pastor Jess now. Sure. Finish it up.
Amazing. Give her a bigger hand than that. It's incredible. So challenged by that word. So challenged. And you know what I love most, I think, about that word is how Michaela opened up in vulnerability. And she told a story about how she was hurt by something and she was hating the people who hurt her. And I love that she's vulnerable enough and confident enough to share that with us, because every single one of us have been in that position at some point in time. I'd like to say that anytime someone's hurt me, I've just, you know, smiled and said, that's okay, Jesus forgives you, I do too. But I don't. It takes time sometimes. Sometimes I'm able to do that really quickly, but sometimes it's really hard to do that. And the truth is that every single person in this room has felt like that at some point. And I bet every single person in this room has felt disqualified. One of her main points was about not disqualifying yourself. But the problem is that most of the time we don't even realize that we have disqualified ourselves. We don't realize it because we've believed some sort of lie. If we could recognize it, then maybe we'd be able to help it. But sometimes we don't. We're believing something that maybe when we don't have what it takes. Maybe, like Michaela said, maybe it's something in our past that we think disqualifies us from our future. And so I want to encourage you today, if you were in this room and what Michaela was saying was hitting home for you because you feel like you have disqualified yourself in something, let me encourage you that you are not disqualified, that God does have a purpose and a plan for you, that you are loved, that you are qualified. And I love what she said, with your disqualifications actually end up becoming the qualifications for you. And the reason why I know this is because disqualifying myself is something that I've done a lot. It's something that's very true to my story. I quite often, probably daily, have to remind myself that God's with me. Because I feel like almost in every single area of my life that I don't have what it takes. For me, it's not necessarily something that I've done in the past, but maybe that is what it is for you. For me, it's an insecurity that disqualifies me. And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you think that you're too old, too young, too smart, too not smart. Whatever it is, there's probably something in there, some sort of insecurity that you might not even recognize is there, but I believe God will show us today that might be disqualifying yourself. For me, it's that I don't have what it takes. And we started this church when I was only 23 years old. So in my mind, I did not have what it took. I still don't. I was too young. I wasn't educated enough. I didn't have the resources needed. I didn't have the experience needed. I could have justified everything in my head to disqualify myself from doing this. But God leads me to this scripture, which is the most incredible scripture. It talks about our imperfections actually allowing his power to come to pass. And so I have to remind myself daily, when I wake up, I feel like I don't have what it takes to take on the day. I feel like I don't have what it takes to be the mom that I need to be the wife that I want to be the leader to you guys that I would like to be. But through his strength, he helps me to actually be able to do that. So there's this scripture in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it's probably one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It's like top five for me because it's something I go to all the time. And it says, I'm just going to quickly flip there, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it's Paul, that same Paul that Michaela was talking about. He's pleading with God to take something away from him because he can't handle it, because he doesn't have what it takes. He's pleading. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Do you know how many times I have pleaded with the Lord to take some of the incredible responsibilities that I have on my plate away from me? Because I don't feel like I have what it takes. And maybe you're the same, but this is how he replied. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace, that grace that Michaela was talking about, that grace that we can be captured by, it's sufficient for me. It's sufficient for you. It's sufficient for every single person in this room. It is sufficient because his power is made perfect in weakness. So exactly what Michaela was saying, with your disqualifications actually become your qualifications, this is how. It's when we recognize our weaknesses, when we recognize our disqualifications, and we let his grace, his power come into that, they actually become our strength. So when I feel like I don't have what it takes to do my life, the fact that God moves through me, that I humbly go to him and he moves through me, gives him glory, and his power is actually made strengthened through my weakness. So I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know if you're disqualifying yourself because of something you've done. Let me tell you, His grace is made perfect through weakness, and it will become part of your message, just like Michaela said. I don't know if you think that you're too young in this place, but let Michaela be an example for that. She could have very easily disqualified herself, and she even said that herself. But yet, every single one of us got something from her word today, and I know I am thankful that she didn't let that disqualification stop her. Maybe, I don't know what it is, maybe you're too married, too single, too, I have children, whatever it is, I'm too busy in my career. Whatever the disqualifying factor is, let me tell you that His grace is sufficient, and He will work through your weakness, and it will actually become a power in your life, because I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in so many lives of those people around me. The things that have caused them the most hurt and the most pain have actually become the areas of most healing that they've been able to pass on to other people and help other people in pain that are hurting. It's amazing how God uses our weaknesses that we try to hide, that we try to shame away, but He uses them for His glory. But the truth is we can't just receive this grace. We can't be captured by this grace by doing something. The way we actually become captured by this grace, He talks about it in Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. This is how we become captured by His grace, like Michaela was saying. We don't need to do anything. We don't need to be perfect. What we need to do is come to His throne. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment or of condemnation. As Michaela was saying, you might feel a little bit of conviction at times, but there's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. It is not a throne of condemnation. It's a throne of grace. But the grace isn't just something, some pretty word. It actually has power, like we saw before. So we can approach His throne of grace, but He wants us to approach it with confidence. And I think this is where we miss the mark so many times. I'm going to invite the whole band back up, actually. We miss the mark here so many times because too many of us don't approach this throne of grace with confidence. We approach it like what Michaela was saying, with shame, with guilt, with fear, perhaps, of what God's going to do to us. But the truth is He wants us to shake off all those feelings, all those insecurities, all those feelings of I don't have what it takes, all those feelings that my past rules me, any insecurity, any doubt, any fear towards, and He wants us to approach Him boldly, with confidence, openly. And the reason why we can do that is because He is a loving Father. And like I said before, because His throne is grace, it's not judgment. When we approach His throne, what we receive is actually grace. And it says here, of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't need to look anywhere else for it. We can find grace and we can find mercy at His throne. And it's for our time of need. Do you know God doesn't expect you to have it all together? He doesn't expect you to not have need in your life. He knows that every single one of us is in some sort of need. We're in some sort of emotional need, some sort of physical need, some sort of spiritual need. He knows that we're in need. And that's why He's created this amazing space and place for us to actually be able to access grace for our time of need. And the beautiful thing about grace is that it is powerful. It has the ability to give us whatever we need with whatever situation we're in. Grace isn't just forgiveness. Grace is powerful. It enables us. It gives us strength. It gives us identity. It gives us hope. It gives us faith. Grace is actually a powerful substance, not just a you're forgiven. But it is an empowering thing. So when we can come to His throne room Yes, we're forgiven, but we're also empowered with His strength. And so I'm just going to invite everybody to stand right now. The band is going to get into another worship song. We're going to sing Surrender. And I don't want you to leave right now because church isn't done yet. You've heard some incredible teaching today from Michaela. But what would great teaching be if we wouldn't give you the moment to actually experience God, actually experience His throne room? And I believe that it is here right now in this room, and that all that it takes is for us to just approach with confidence, shaking off any fear, any doubt. And so right now, as this band sings Surrender, quite often when I sing this song, I'm asking God, what do you want me to surrender? And I'm often thinking of the tangible things, which is good. Do you want me to surrender, you know, a little bit more finance? Do you want me to surrender a little bit more of my time? I'm surrendering everything to you, Lord, but what's the thing that, you know, you want me to surrender more of? But I feel like today, He's asking us of lies that He wants us to surrender. He's asking us of things that we have felt have disqualified us, and surrender them at His throne. So I don't know what it is right now, but I believe that God is highlighting something on every single person's life that He's asking you to surrender, because He doesn't want you to carry that around anymore. He doesn't want you to carry around that fear anymore. He doesn't want you to carry around that insecurity anymore. He doesn't want you to just be stopped by the fact that you think you're not good enough, that you don't have what it takes. He wants it gone. He wants you free to be able to live your life with complete freedom, completely full of grace, completely full of love, completely full of strength. So whatever it is right now, we're going to sing I Surrender All, and I ask you to think of what that thing is and lay it at His throne. It is not humble living to hold on to it. Let it go so we can be free and full of His powerful grace in this room.